Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Durim, Daf Mem Tes. We begin the very brand new parak, the sixth parak, Hanoder, and we will learn today Li'ili Nishmas Jack Baum, Yitzchak Ben Rav Tuvia HaKohen, all the Shalom we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin Mem Tes and Aleph, the very top of the new Mishnah, the new parak, Hanoder Min HaMevusha. If a person makes an ed, the Reuven says, I ask myself to eat anything that is Mevusha. So what does that mean? How do we define Mevusha? Mevusha literally means something that is cooked. So how do we define that? So that includes mutter b'tzali. He's allowed to eat roasted foods u'bishaluk. Now shaluk normally means something that is mevushal yoser midai, as you can see in the mefarish. So shaluk in this situation, the Ran says, is used in a different sense. So if you look in the top Ran in the perek, hanodim and mevushal, so he says she'enam b'chlal losher mevushal, that tzali roasted and shaluk are not included in normal cooking. As the Mefarish explains, normal cooking, mevushal, is mevushal kiroi, like it's normally cooked. Then the Ran tells us, shaluk normally means something different than it means here. Here it means, shaluk means boshil velo boshil, it means partially cooked. It's not fully cooked, but partially cooked. And he says, dinhi de shaluk nami mashma mevushal yosemidai, even though under normal circumstances, shaluk means something that's stewed, something that's overcooked, as we say in the Gemara in Chulin, in Perikol HaBosar. Nevertheless, here, Shaluk, the Hocha over here, I skipped the law in the two in the Ran, Boshil, the low Boshil, who? Here, we say that Shaluk means something that's only partially cooked. This is a very, very important principle. The Ran tells us that in regards to the Ndarim, you go after the vernacular usage of the words, as we'll see a Machlokis in the Gemara. We're going to suggest that there's a Machlokis between whether you go after Lashon Torah or after Lashon Bnei Adam. So the rule the Ran tells us is everybody agrees that you follow by Nedarim Lashon Bnei Adam, the normal vernacular usage of word that determines what a Neder means. The Tavshil, Shinizbashil Yosemidai, Bichlal Mevushalu. And in regards to people's talking, when you say something is cooked, you include in that something that is overcooked, but you don't include in that something that is undercooked, only partially cooked. So again, to understand the first line of our Mishnah, which really will make us understand the whole Mishnah, how it flows, if a person, Reuven, asks himself, min ha-mevushal, hanodim min ha-mevushal, so that only means items that are cooked or overcooked, because that's the normal language that a person uses for something that is cooked. And therefore, he hasn't asked himself his mutter in having something that's roasted, that's not considered cooked, and shaluk, something that, according to the Ran, is partially cooked, so he would be included in that as well. Now, that's not the way the Rush understands it. The Rush understands shaluk zeshin is basu yoser mistam. So he says shaluk means something that's overcooked, and he holds that that would be permitted to a person to eat something that's stewed, that's overcooked, because that's not included in mevushal. The Mishnah continues and says, what happens if the person says, Omar, koneim tafshil she'eini toim? The person says, I ask myself this tafshil that I shouldn't eat it. The Ran points out in the middle of the Dibra Maskel, Omar Konem, so he says, V'chitani, three lines into this Ran, he says, V'chitani, Sha'ani Toem, other side of the gear says, Sha'ani Toem, Lav Dafka. That wasn't really necessary over here, because Liribusa, this is coming to teach us an additional statement over here. It's teaching us, Lomar, Da'afilu, Omar, Sha'ani Toem, or Sha'ani Toem, Mutter Ba'ova. He's teaching us over here that this is coming to teach us that if it's a thick type of a cooked dish, a consistency that is a thicker type of a consistency, so then that's osur. So when the person says koneim tafshil, when he says I ask myself to have a tafshil as opposed to mevushal in the first line of the Mishnah, if he uses the lashon of tafshil, what does that come to include? So osur b'maisa kedera rach, he's not allowed to eat food that is cooked, that is thin. Rach means it's not thick, it's thin. In other words, it is more of a liquid consistency. But he is permitted in that situation to have something that is thick, a thick consistency. And as the Ran tells us, and I say Dibur Maskel, early in the Dibur Maskel, he says the Gemara is going to teach us, Umaisi Kedera Ova means Bape Nafshe Ochli, it's eaten by itself. The low pas, and you don't have it with bread. So something that's a little bit runny, something that's a little bit liquidy, something that's not so thick, so you use bread to eat that. You dip that bread into that item. You use the bread, you smear it on the bread. As opposed to something that's thicker, you don't eat with bread. At least that's not the way it was in Eretz Yisrael. We'll see in Bavo, they would eat bread with bread, as we'll learn in the Gemara. In any event, the Mishnah is telling us over here what the definition of tafshil is. It includes only items that are of a thinner, looser consistency and not a thicker consistency. And it tells us as well, umutar bebeitzar tumata and ubedalas harimutsa. We are permitted over here, if the person asks himself from tavshil, to also have these things called beitza tarmuta and dalas harimutsa, which the Gemara will explain exactly what they are on daf nun omud beis. And the Ran points out over here, the shalki lo bimaya chamime. These are items that are cooked in hot water 1,000 times. Alfa zimne, 1,000 times. The alfa zimne bimaya kriri. And 1,000 times they're cooked in cold water afterwards. Ad the mitzutra kidebalala. It becomes then small, as if it was swallowed up, belomas achlo barifta, and you don't need to eat it then with bread. So umashma davka bahu dishari. Only in this is he permitted in avokol shalonis bashla kokach. But if something wasn't cooked as much, then asura, it would be forbidden. And again, we'll go through this more in the Gemara, so we'll wait till we get there to explain this a little bit better. The Mishnah continues and says, I know to be Maisei Kedera, if a person asks himself from eating things that are made in a pot, Maisei Kedera, Kedera is a pot, so ain't also Ella, me Maisei Resachta. He's only forbidden in something that was boiled many, many times. So the Rosh explains this is Dover, Hanirtach, the Hanigmar Bikdera. It's something that is boiled and it is completed inside this pot. So that's what Maisei Kedera is excluding. So this only excludes Maisei Kedera when you ask Maisei Kedera and nothing else. And finally, the Mishnah says, Omar, if the person says, Konem, it's also to me like a carbon, Hayored Likedera Sheni Toem, if something goes into this pot, I ask myself to eat it. So also, Beholem is Basel Likedera. Then you also eat anything that is cooked in a pot. And the Rosh points out, this means afilu eno nigbar bar. Even if you don't finish cooking it in this pot, if it went into the pot, then it becomes osur via this neder. Okay, that concludes the Mishnah. Let's begin the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the following brayso, Rav Yosha Oser. Rav Yosha says that the roasted food, the tzli, is also considered osur if he says, I asa myself min havushal. So Rav Yosha argues with Amishta. Amishta said, if you know the Minam Avushal, Mutu Bitzli, and Rav Yosha says, Oser Bitzli. Why is that? The Alphabet Shein Rai L'Dov, even though he has a concrete proof to this, Zeich L'Dov, he has an allusion from the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, this is a Pasuk that we have, and there we are, Yamin, Vayivashlu, the word S isn't there in the Pasuk, Vayivashlu HaPesach Bo'esh Kamishpot, that they went and they cooked the Korban Pesach. Now we know the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, and yet the Pasuk Divrei Yamin says that they cooked it. Oh, so what do you see? That included in cooking is roasting. So therefore, Rav Yosha says, if a person asks himself for min havushal, so that also includes roasting. Now the Gemara says, let us suggest that the machlokes between the Tana of our Mishnah and Rav Yosha is the following. Leimu b'hokum iflegi, the Rav Yosha sovar halach achaloshim b'nei Torah, v'tano dilan sovar b'nidorm halach achaloshim b'nei Adam. Let us suggest, as I pointed out before, this is not really the answer, but right now we want to suggest in our Havamina here that the machlokis is, as do when a person makes a neder, do we go by what the Torah says? The Torah clearly in Divrei Yomim tells us that Vayivashlu includes Tzoli, or do we go by the vernacular usage, the Bnei Adam usage, which normally when people say they cook something, they don't include roasting. Maybe that's the machlokas between the Tana of Mishnah and Rav Yosha. And where it says, no, that's not true. Lo, the Kuliyama bin Nedarim Holech Achalosh Bnei Adam. Even Rav Yosha, everybody holds that by Nedarim, you go after the vernacular usage, as we pointed out in the Ran when we did the Mishnah. Everybody holds that you follow Loshon Bnei Adam. So then what do they argue about? So Mar Kiasrei, Umar Kiasrei, each of them is referring to the usage, the vernacular usage, in their own shtat, in their area. So, one man, the Omer, says, Biasra de Tana Dilon, in the Tana, who authored our Mishnah, in his area, Litzoli, Koru Litzoli. Roasted was called roasted, and it wasn't called Mavushal. Mavushal, Koru Mavushal. They had separate terminology. When somebody said cooked, he didn't mean roasted. And when somebody said roasted, he didn't mean cooked. That was the Tana of our Mishnah's vernacular usage. As opposed to Biasro, the Rabbi Yoshia, Afi Litzoli, Koru Mavushal. He said, no, the vernacular usage in his area is that included in Mavushal is also Tzoli. So therefore, there's no machlokes between Rav Yosha and the Tana of Mishnah. Everybody agrees you go after Losh B'nei Adam. But when you say you go after Lashon HaYadam, it means what is the normal usage in that area. So the normal usage in one area, in one city, may be different than the normal usage in another city. So when a person makes a neder, you go after the normal usage of that terminology in that place at that time. And that's an overriding principle in the Darim, that you go after Lashon HaYadam. It doesn't mean Lashon HaYadam. We don't go after old English usage of a word. We would go after modern usage of a word. And the same would be true every item in every place and in every time. Mark continues and says, "Va'kra nasiv lo." Wait a second, but Yerosha had a pasuk. So doesn't that imply that our original Havamina was correct? That if he goes after Lashon Torah and not Lashon Bnei Adam? So he says, "No, that was just an asmachta bi'alma. That was just an allusion to what his shita is. It's just a reference, an idea, remez, but that's not the actual source of his shita." Then the Mishnah is quoted where it says, "Kodim tavshil v'chule." If a person asks himself to have a tavshil, the second part of the Mishnah, the first part was hamivushal, the second part was tavshil. So we said that that included only things that are of a thinner consistency and not of a thicker consistency. So Mor says, "But why? Baha mi tavshil nodar." So that implies the same thing as mavushal. So why should there be a difference between hamavushal and tavshil? So Amar Bayabai says, "Haytana komide dinis achil beirifta tavshil korle." No, because they use these terms in different usages. In the vernacular usage, hamavushal meant something different than hatavshil. So tavshil is something that was eaten with bread. So therefore, only things that were of a looser consistency, a thinner consistency, they were included in tavshil. But things that were not eaten with bread, a thicker consistency, so they were not included. And I'll show you that this is true of Otanya. Although, unfortunately, the Daf say the Otanya here means Benichusa. This is a proof to what we just said. 90% of the time, the Otanya, we argue with that from the following Brisa. And about 10% of the time, the Otanya means Benichusa. It means this is a proof. I'll show you that it's right based upon the following Brisa. So it says in the following Brisa, Hanodir min Atavshil. If a person asks himself from eating a Tavshil, so that includes also B'chol minei Tavshil, anything that is cooked. But aser bitzoli ubishalak ubimavushal, and that includes things that are roasted, because he said tafshil, and that includes, according to this brisa, things that are roasted, things that are cooked, either overcooked or undercooked, or mavushal, and anything that is cooked in general. And likewise, he is forbidden the aser hitrios rakos. Hitrios are squash, and rakos, again, as we said, it means thin or not so thick, so it's soft. So he's also in these diluim kitan, in these small diluim, as the Ran says, or as you see in the Rush, that these are just dakos, they're just thin. In any event, why? Shacholin, sick people, ochlim behen piton, because sick people eat with them with bread. So you see here that this concept over here of tafshil only includes from this brisa things that are eaten with bread. So that is the definition of tafshil. The Gemara says, wait a second, are you telling me that sick people eat this? Ini, are you telling me that it's healthy for a sick person to have this hitrios rakos? For Rabbi Yirmiyahu cholash, once Rabbi Yirmiyahu got sick, and oligabe how Asya is a doctor, Rashi tells us elsewhere. So a doctor, Warren Psalm tells us that Asya means a rofe. There's a journal known as Asya that's a medical ethics type of a journal, medical halacha journal known as Asya. So oligabe how Asya, a certain doctor came to him, la Asya, to go and heal him, to cure him. He saw, however, choza kora, he saw that there was a hitrios there. A kara is a squash. The mochis bevesi that was in his house. It was, as the Rashi elsewhere tells us, it was munach. The word mochis means munach. It was placed over there. So the doctor saw that there was a squash in the house. Rav Yirmiyahu was sick. He says, I'm wasting my time here. Shavke, he left the nofak and he went outside. And he said, Amma, this doctor said, Malach Musa, you have the Malach HaMavis in this house. Isle Ledein, do they say, this squash is like the Malach HaMavis. It's very dangerous food. V'ano, Eyo, Liaso, Yose, and I should go in and heal this guy? It's like a pulmonary doctor going into somebody's house who's sick, and he sees the guy smoking. He says, well, I'm wasting my time over here. So you see clearly that this Kura, this hitrios, is actually dangerous for a sick person. So how can you tell me in the Brisa, shacholin, sick people, ochlin, behem pitan, that they go and eat these hitrios? It's dangerous. That can't be correct. So I said, no, it depends on what type of squash you're talking about. Look, kasha, ha berichichai, that brisa says that cholin eat the squash. That's talking about the rakos, the dakos, the softer, the smoother consistency. Ha biyashune, whereas the story that we just said with Rav Yirmiyah, the doctor saw this harder, vashune, the Gemara in Chulin describes the word berechiche meaning rachin, softer, and ashuni means caution, harder. So therefore, there's no steer over here between the Bryce and the story with the doctor and Rav Yirmiyah. Alternatively, Rava Bar Ula Mard, another way to explain the seeming difference to reconcile this Bryce with the story with Rav Yirmiyah and the doctor, so that kara that the doctor saw in Rav Yirmiyah's house, so ha b'kara gufe, that was dealing with the actual goof of the kara. That was, he saw the actual squash itself. That is definitely not good for a sick person, the doctor said. However, the Bryson, it said that the cholin eat this hitrios v'ha begavei the kara. That was the inner part of the squash. That is something that is healthy for a sick person. Where do we see that from? The Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, luliva the kara besilka, that if a person eats the inside of a squash with silka, with beets, in other words, as the Ran says, you take masha besocho, luliva dekra, means masha besocho, and you cook it, besilka, yivashlenu imtar, then you go and cook it with beets, that is something that is very, very good for a person's health. Likewise, luliva dekisna bekuscha, so if you go and take, the Ran says, masha besocho, tov liochlo imkutach, to take the inside of a kisna, is a flax plant, and you go and eat that with kutach. Kutach was a certain dip that was made up of spoiled milk and a bunch of other ingredients that the Bavloyim used to go and eat. The people from Eretz Yisrael couldn't tolerate this. It was a very difficult food for them, but in Bavel they were very used to having this dip. So having this, the inside of the flax plant with kutach, is also very good for healing, as the Ran says, Mashab Sokho tov lo'ochlo im kutach. That's good to eat with the kutach. However, the dovers are also li'omim b'nei amoros, but don't tell this to the amoratsim. Why is that? So the Ran explains, k'dei shelo ya'akru ha'pishton l'kach. Hey, they're going to say, this is good. They're going to go and uproot all of the flax plants, and there's not going to be any flax. So therefore, don't tell the amoratsim this, because they'll go and destroy it. Alternatively, the Rush says, in the last Rush, also l'omim b'nei amoros, shi'aligo al-dvarein, they're going to laugh at us. Shudvarim elu afilu hanashim yodos osan. This is so obvious. They say, oh, one of the rabbis is telling us something that is so obvious. Alternatively, the Mefarish explains that mishum de dovar me'ulahu l'refua, this is something that's very, very good for refua, and therefore the person is also lomar lehem, you can't tell the amoratsim shum dovar sheyenu mimenu, we don't want them to benefit from this. We want to keep this away from the amoratsim. Alternatively, the Mefarish says, "Viz darme the lo lech lutuva v'lisadu kisna," that they shouldn't go and eat up all the flax plants, like the Ran said, and cause the loss of the flax plants. That's Rava Bar Ula's teretz. Alternatively, Rava Mar, Rava tells us that man cholin. What do we mean when we said in the Brisa that the sick people, the cholin, they have this squash? He's not talking about real sick people. He's referring to the Rabbanon. Now, why are the Rabbanon referred to as sick people? So the Mefarish explains, Sha'oskin b'Torah, that the Talmidei Chacham are always learning Torah, they know nanim and olam. They don't enjoy this physical world, and therefore they don't eat right, they don't sleep right, maybe they don't exercise, and therefore as a result they become sickly. So it meant not lav dafka a sick person, it meant the Rabbanon. But if somebody really is a sick person, so then that's actually dangerous, like the story with the doctor in Rav Yirmiyah. So it didn't really mean in the Braisa sick people, it meant the Rabbanon. And the story with the doctor, the Asya, and Rav Yirmiyah, that was talking about Rav Yirmiyah really was a sick person. And this is in accord with what Rava says elsewhere. Rava l'taymei, Yama Rava, Rava goes in accord with the sheet that he says elsewhere, as Rava said, and we turn to Mantes Omud Beis, Kiman Matzlinon al Kitzire Gamariye. In accord with whose opinion do we go and say Rofe Holy Amo Yisrael, as the Mefarish says in the top Mefarish, or as the top Ran says that we daven all year long B'chol Yimos Hashana? Who's this in accord with that we say we daven all year long for the Kitzire and the Marie? So this is like Kiman Kirabiosi. This is like the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. And where do we see that? Midamre Kitsiri Marie. We see that he used in this lashon that we daven for the Kitsiri and the Marie. So this implies that they're two different people. There's the Kitsiri and the Marie. So Shmamino Kitsiri means Kitsiri Mamish. The word Kitsiri means people that are sick. As the Ran tells us, cholin, they're actual sick people, umikru kitsire, and they're called kitsire, lefisha nafshom kotsra machmas cholyom, because their life is difficult, their life is hard, bitter, because of their difficulties with being sick, and that we see that the terminology of Marie means something else. So kitsire means kitsire mamish, but Marie means the rabbanon. That's a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, who are not taking proper care of the health because they're so busy learning sometimes, and therefore they're called Marie, and we daven for them all year long. Now, as an aside, the Ran points out in Dibra Masel Kaman Kerav Yosi that this is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Adam Nidon B'chol Yom. This goes like Rav Yossi's opinion says a person is judged every single day because the Chachamim's opinion was different. The Ilul Rabbanon, this lo the Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah, Kivin Shenigmar Dinon Ein Tvila Mo Elislan. This is a famous Machlokes Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. How do we view are being judged? So the Rav Yossi, which is the way that we understand this, is that we're judged every day. And the Chachamim's opinion was that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah for the whole year. And obviously that implies that you're only judged on Rosh Hashanah, but obviously a person can do tshuva, a person can go and impact his gezar din on Rosh Hashanah. So as we pointed out, we went through that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So a person could be judged on Rosh Hashanah for one thing, but how it's actually applied during the rest of the year. So let's say a person's judged on Rosh Hashanah that he won't have a lot of rain, but when that rain comes, that could be impacted the rest of the year. If the rain comes at the right time, so even a small amount of rain can be an excellent crop. Whereas a person just have a large amount of rain, and that sounds like it's a bracha, but if he does things that make that bracha go away, so then rain can call come in a flood or in a storm and actually destroy the crops and not be a good thing. Bottom line is, fundamentally, we daven every day. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us every day. B'chol yom, every day, Adam Nidam. Okay, Mark continues and quotes the Mishnah, says, U'mutu b'ova, if a person asked himself from having tavshil, so then that allowed him to have mutur ba'ova. He's allowed to have thick consistency. Tavshil, we said, meant only thin consistencies that are normally eaten with bread. So the Gemara says, Masnisim de lo kibavloi. Our Mishnah seems to be only the custom of Eretz Yisrael, but doesn't accord with the custom of the Bavloi. Because as the Omar Rav Zeira said, Bavloi Timshai, these foolish Babylonians, Rav Zeira, who originally came from Bavel and learned in Eretz Yisrael, said the people in Bavel are so foolish. The Ochle Lachma B'Lachma. They have a thick consistency type of a bread, and they eat it with bread. So they eat this daisa, they eat this thick consistency type of a dish, and yet they use bread with it. And this is foolish because it doesn't have any benefit. Person wants to have bread with another food that will, so to say, be a spread for the bread, will be something that will accompany the bread and make the bread more delicious. And here they're having bread with bread. Doesn't make any sense. That's what Rav Zeira said. And therefore, our Mishnah is only the custom of Eretz Yisrael that differentiates eating bread with thinner consistencies and not eating bread with thicker consistency foods of tavshil. That's not the way the Babylonians did it. Amar Chista, who came from Babel, said, now we have the girsa over here of either Ika, the Bach says to add, or others have the girsa Leka. In any event, it means to tell us over here, is there anyone, Ika or Leka, or there is no one, the Mashal Lohon Loholein Nakedone the Hutzal? Is there someone, or isn't there someone over here that could go and ask the people that are Nakedone? Now, some have the girsa Nakroni, but in any event, the girsa Nakedone, the Mefarish tells us, means Daikonim B'Maichel. These are the expert chefs. The people in Hutzal were very knowledgeable about these things. The Ran, as you see, has the girsa Nakroni, She'ochlim B'Nikias. They eat everything with very good hygiene. They eat very, very cleanly. Alternately, says it is Nakedone, Loshnacha Nakedone, She'medaktikim Bachilos. They're very particular about their foods. As the Gemara tells us in Brachos, they're very particular about what they eat. In any event, Rav Chista said, is there somebody who can tell us the following answer? Hodein Daisa, this Daisa, the Ran tells us, is Michael Shulchitim Mivushalim, and the Agos Tzionim, it adds that it could also be barley. So it's either wheat or barley that is cooked. This is Daisa, what we would normally translate it as porridge. So Hechin Ma'ale Lemichla, how is it good to eat this food? What's the best way to eat Daisa? does he say dechite belachmo dechite udesari belachmo desari? This daisa, which as we just pointed out, could either come from cooked wheat or cooked barley. So does it make sense to eat this daisa in bavel where they ate lachma belachma? So does it make sense even in bavel to specifically try to have the wheat bread with the wheat porridge and the barley bread with the barley porridge? Oh, Dilma, no, switch it around. The chite b'desari, desari b'chite. No, if you're going to have a barley porridge, make sure you have it with wheat bread. If you're going to have a wheat porridge, go and have it with barley bread. That's what Rav Chisda asks. Oh, if only we could ask those people that are the expert chefs, we could know what to do. That's what Rav Chisda said. And clearly you see that the custom in Bavel was it did have bread with bread. Now, Rava achle b'chasise. Rava's custom was to go and eat this bread b'chasise. What does that mean? So the Ran tells us chasise is kemach shokloyos. This is like flour that's made from these toasted kernels. And that's the Rush's opinion as well. Kemach shokloyos. But Tosfos brings down other opinions. First of all, he agrees with the opinion that we just said from the Ran and the Rush, kemach shokloyos. But then he brings down the opinion of the Rabbeinu Chananel. He is pirish kemach shel adoshim. This is a lentil type of flour. Uperusho niri yoser. And he says this is more appropriate, because if it was talking about regular flour, they would have called it kimcha diavishuna. And for the fact that we didn't call that over here, so he says it means it's lentil flour. He brings other rice to it as well, ayin and tosus. Bottom line is that Rava ate over here his bread with this chasise, which was also a type of grain. And therefore, it's another example of, in Bavel, they ate, the Bavloim ate bread with bread. Gemara says, Rabba by Rav Huna, Ashkei le Rav Huna, Rabba, who is the son of Rav Huna, saw his father Rav Huna, the ka'achol daisa b'etzbiose. He saw his father eating the daisa, this porridge, with his fingers. So Amalei, so Rabba asked his father, Nu, am I ka'achol l'mar b'yadei? Why are you eating this with your fingers? Why aren't you using a fork and a knife? So Amalei, he tells him, Hochim a Rab, because this is what Rav said, daisa b'etzbiose, Bossim. If you go and eat with your fingers this daisa, it will be much better. Somehow, eating with your fingers makes it tastier, right? Finger licking good. So, it somehow makes it better, and if you eat it with one finger, it's good. Certainly, certainly, if you eat it with two or three fingers, it's even going to be better. Amalei Rav lechia b'rei. Rav told his son Chia, v'chein amalei Rav Huna l'rab b'rei. And similarly, Rav Huna taught his son Rabba, mizamnin loch lemechal daisa at parsa. If somebody's going to invite you over for a meal of daisa, you should go, even if they're far away, even a parsa, for a meal. That's how far you should go. If somebody invites you to take this daisa, it's very healthy. Lemechal bisra de Torah. And if somebody invites you to have ox meat, oh, at losin parsa, you should even travel for that up to 3 parsa, 12 mil, 12 kilometer. It's worthwhile to do so. These foods are very good. Where it tells us further, Amalei Rav lechia b'rei. Rav further told his son Chia another thing, and likewise, v'chein Amalei Rav Huna l'rabba b'rei. Rav Huna taught his son Rabba the same thing. Call me dam lo tiflo kamei rabach. You should never go and spit in front of your Rebbe. As the Mefarish points out from Gemara in Erevin, harok lefnei rabbo chayv misa. It's totally a disrespect to your Rebbe to go and spit in front of him. You should not spit in front of your Rebbe. They used to go spit all the time. They used to have spittoons. This was very common until relatively recently in a culture that it's no longer polite to go and spit in front of other people. But certainly you should never spit in front of your Rebbe. With the exception, Levar, the only exception to this rule is, Minkara, if a person needs to spit because he ate kara, he ate the squash, or dice, or he had porridge. Why is that? Shehen domim lipsilta shel aver. Bafilu kame shvur malkoplo. Because these are dangerous like a piece of lead. A person were to eat lead, it would be very dangerous. It wouldn't get this digested. As the Mefarish continues, he says, Avom ochlo dalas with dice. If you eat the squash or the porridge, with his damin law harok bepicha, and you then need to salivate and spit because it caused you to salivate. Pelot bifnei rabach, you're even allowed to go and spit in front of your rebbe. That's not considered a chutzpah. Zrok also lechutz, and then take it outside. Sheyesh bo sakonas nefashos. This is very dangerous. This saliva. Shen koshin legufa. If you don't spit it out, if you swallow this, it could cause detrimental effects on your body. Kipsila shaleva, just like if you swallowed a piece of lead, and therefore it's very, very unhealthy. Okay, so that's the advice that both Rab gave his son Chia and Rav Huna gave his son Rabba. And you could even spit in front of the king, Shur Malka. Rashi elsewhere reminds us that he was the king of Melech Pras. We're in Sukkah, Melech Pras Hoya. We have a number of stories over there with Shur Malka. Mark continues and tells us, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, they were once eating together. Now, in those days, they used to bring out a single serving dish, and everybody would eat from the single serving dish. They didn't have their own bowls necessarily. So, Chad Ochel Daiso Bietzvah. See, they brought out this porridge, and one of them, doesn't say which one, ate it with his fingers. Like we just said before, that it's very tasty if you eat it with your fingers. The Chad Ochel Behutza, but the other one ate it with Hutza. Hutza is a piece of wood. The Lashon of Hutza, the Ran tells us, is Klipas Eitz, a piece of wood. So, one ate with his finger, he dipped his finger into the dish, and the other one dipped this piece of wood into the dish. And then they each put it into their mouth, and then, seemingly, they each put their finger or their wood back into the dish after they put it into their mouth. So, that's the way they were eating. And Amalei, the Ochel Behutza, the one that was eating with the piece of wood, said to the one that was eating with his fingers, again, we don't know which one was which, the Ochel Behutza, he said, how dare you do that? Ad Masei Ata Ma'achilei Nitzo Asucha. You, by sticking your finger in there, so you have always a little bit of dirt. So is dirt. Doesn't mean necessarily excrement. So there's dirt underneath your fingers. And you're sticking your fingers into this daisa, into this porridge. You're putting it in your mouth. And then, now the Mefarish points out that he must have wiped off his finger in between eating because he's not concerned about the saliva that's on his finger. He's only concerned about the dirt that's under his fingernails. So he asked him, how can you do this? You keep on sticking your dirty fingers into the porridge, and you're getting the schmutz, the tzoa, that's underneath your fingernails, into my food. And the other one said, Amalei, the one that was eating with his fingers, said to the one that was eating with the piece of wood, the spoon, so to say, the Docha Behutza, said, how much longer are you going to continue dipping your food after you put it, the spoon, after you put it into your mouth, you put this piece of wood into your mouth, has all your saliva on it, and then you dip it right back in. You double dip. How can you do that? You're making it all dirty with your saliva. Now, why wasn't he concerned about his fingers? As I pointed out, the Mefarish says that he wiped off his fingers. So in this situation, there is no problem in the saliva, but there's only the dirt under the fingernails, whereas the other one, the problem was the saliva that would still be on the spoon. He, Mestama, did not wipe off the spoon, the piece of wood, in between eating it. Okay. Gemara tells us, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, another time Rabbi Huda was eating Rabbi Shimon, Aisu Lekame. Now the girsa that we have is Belosfin, but the Ran and the Hagos with Tziyunim say that it should be Belofsin, the Samach. The girsa that we have comes before the fey, but the fey should come before the samach in the correct girsa. Some also have kilovsin, but the Hagosu Tzirun tells us it should be bilovsin, with a bay, is not a chaf. In any event, they were eating this bilovsin, and Rabbi Yehuda, ochal Rabbi Shimon lo ochal. They brought it in front of them. Only Rabbi Yehuda ate from it, Rabbi Shimon didn't eat from it. How come? So I'm like, Rabbi Yehuda, my time lo ochal mar. So Rabbi Yehuda was surprised, they were hungry. So why, Rabbi Shimon, aren't you eating this bilovsa? Now, my time lo ochal mar. Now, what was this bilovsin? So the Ran tells us that blovsin is a min te'enim shekoshim lisachel. It's a type of fig that is very difficult to digest. Others suggest that it means a very hard type of a fig. In any event, he wouldn't eat this. These te'enim were not thought to be good for the health, and Rabbi Shimon refused to eat it, and Rabbi Yehuda ate it. So Rabbi Yehuda asked him, how come you're not eating it? So only Rabbi Shimon tells him, Elu and Yotzim mibnei me'ayim kolika. They're very, very hard to digest. They're going to stay inside of you. They ain't coming out so quickly. And therefore, it's not a healthy food, and I don't eat it. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, that's actually even better. Kol shekein, we should eat this. Shenismo chalei lemocha. Rabbi Yehuda was very poor, and he didn't have a lot of money for food. So he said, well, I'll eat this today. It will still be there tomorrow, and I'll still get benefit from it even tomorrow. As the Ran tells us, Shemitosh ain't misachlin, since it's not digested well, misakvin b'me'ayim, it's going to stay inside your intestines. V'chosman sha'omdim shomen, as long as it's still there, zonin esaguf, I'll benefit from the nutrition that's being sucked out of it by my intestines. And he didn't have a lot of food to eat, so therefore he said, that's actually good for us, even though it's maybe unhealthy in general, but for a poor person, it's actually very good. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, commander of Tarfon. Another time, Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon, and Amalei Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon said to Rabbi Yehuda, whoa, hayom ponecha tzuhuvim, your face is so radiant today, it's so shiny today. And Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Emesh, yesterday, Yatsu Avodecha Lasoda, your Avodim went out into the field, they vilona tribedin, they brought us some beets over here, tribedin is silka, which means beets, vachlun below melech, and I ate it without salt. If I'd eaten it with salt, how much more I would have been radiant. We would have been so much more radiant because this is very healthy for a person. Now, as Gemara will say in a moment, Rav Yehuda was just being modest over here. It was actually the Torah that was making his face so radiant. And Rabbi Tarfon, who was also a Talmud Chacham of great stature, saw in Rav Yehuda what he basically himself saw. So he was saying, oh, you must have learned a Geshmak, a Gemara, that you're so radiant. That's what Rabbi Tarfon, when he sees radiance, that's what he's thinking of. And Rabbi Yehuda, in his humbleness, didn't want to say, yeah, I had a geshmak of learning today. So he said, oh, it was this tiredin that I ate. Each person in the three stories that we're going to have, Rabbi Tarfon the story, the next story with the Matronisa, and one more story after that, each person sees what he's expecting to see. So Rabbi Tarfon, the Talmud Chacham, sees the radiance as a sign of learning. Amra Hayi Matronisa, Rabbi Yehuda, when a certain Matronisa, Rashi elsewhere tells us that a Matronisa is a Nochri woman, a woman who's Saris Nochri, an important woman, what we would call maybe a matron. So a Matronisa once said to Rav Yehuda, More Viravi. Now this is a play on the word Mori Virabi. So it's a funny usage she's saying over here. You're a Rebbe, you're a More, and yet you're a drunk. Viravi means drunk, somebody who's inebriated. So how could you be both? You're so radiant, you have a ruddy complexion because you're drunk. So she said, how could a great person like you, who's a Mora Hora, be Ravi? So on my law, so Yehuda says to Achas V'Sholom, Hem Nusa Bido Dahai Itza, I swear by you that there's no way that I would ever drink. Because I'll show you, even when I'm a chuyv to drink, I have a very hard time with it. Ita Imna, the only time I drink, Ela Kiddusha, Kiddush, Vavdolta, Havdola, the Arba Kosi de Pisla, and the four kosos on Pesach. That's the only time I drink, because wine doesn't do me well. And he says, V'chograni tzidoi mina Pesach ad ha'atzeres. And after I drink the dalit kosos of wine, this is a very important story that we learn out from here, that even if a person has difficulty, and it's going to give him a headache, so you still have to have the dalit kosos of wine. Obviously, it's not talking about somebody that would have pikuach nefashos. Somebody has an intolerance to wine. He's taking certain medications. It's contraindicated to have wine, so he's also to have wine for the dalit kosos. But if somebody's just going to not feel so good, so then, as Rabbi Yehuda didn't feel so good, he had to hold on to his temples. He had to bind his temples because he had a headache in the stomach from drinking the four kosos of wine all the way up until Atzeres, until Shavuot's time. Nevertheless, he drank it, but he says, that's the only time I drank wine. So don't think for a second that my ruddy complexion is because of the wine that I've drunken. It isn't because of wine. Now, the Matronisa, so she likes a good cup of wine. So she assumes, she sees somebody with a ruddy complexion, she assumes that it must be because he drank wine. But in fact, the Gemara tells us that wasn't the case. As I mentioned before, and here's what the Gemara tells us, Elo chochmas odom Toyer Ponov, Pasuk from Koheles, that tells us that what makes a person's face shine, it's Chachma, the Torah makes a person's face shine. Now, the third case is a Tzduki. Omelie, how Tzduki, Rav Yehuda. A Tzduki saw Rav Yehuda's face was so shiny, and he says to him, Panecha Domim, your face is radiant, it looks to me like a person that has a very cushy life. Ikim Alavi Ribis, like a person who lends with interest, which of course you're not allowed to do to another Yid, or Ikim Gadli Chazirin, or like a person who grows pigs. Pigs don't require a lot of effort and work to grow them. And therefore, a person who is Malava Ribis, he just lends out money and the interest just comes in. He doesn't have to do a lot of work for it. Person raises pigs, he doesn't have to do a lot of work for it. The pigs, so to say, raise themselves to a certain extent. It's easy type of a job, and that's why you have such a ruddy face. So the Tzduki, who did these Isurim, so he sees somebody else with a ruddy face. He says, oh, you must be doing these Isurim, because a person not lend to other Yidden with interest, and a person shouldn't grow Chazirin. It's not a proper job for a person to do. So therefore, that's what the Tzduki saw in Rav Yehuda. So the Tzduki says to Rav Yehuda, you must be doing these Averis. So Amalei, Rav Yehuda tells the Tzduki, Biyudai, by Jewish people, or some suggest it means by Yehuda, by me, but I think the more correct understanding would be by the Jewish people in general, Tarvayu Asirin, both of them are Asi. You're not allowed to lend with ribbons, you're not allowed to be Megad al-Chazir. So why would you think that I would do such a thing? So the reason why my face is ruddy, he tells him, there are 24 bathrooms on my way going from my house to the Beis Medrash, and I make sure that I never have the need to go to the bathroom. I take care of my needs right away, and that keeps me in a good complexion, in a ruddy complexion. And that's why he's explaining to the Tzduki why, in fact, his face is ruddy. And as he had told the Matronisa, and as he tells the Tzedukei over here, and as he told Rabbi Tarfon, the real reason is Chochmas Adam Tariponim, but he didn't want to tell them either because of humbleness to Rabbi Tarfon, or because the Tzedukei wouldn't understand that and wouldn't believe it, so he gave him another reason why his face is ruddy. Rabbi Yehuda, Kad Ozalevei Midrasha, when Rabbi Yehuda would go to the base of Medrash, Shokel Gulfo Al Kasva, he would go and carry a Gulfo, Rashi elsewhere tells us, is Kankan Shalcheres. More in Yuma, Rashi says it means Kankan Shalcheres. He would take an earthenware container, a jug, and he would bring this big jug over there so he would have a place to sit. Now, he's carrying it through the public thoroughfares, and a Talmud Chacham shouldn't be doing work in public. How is he able to do this? He said, Omar, Gedola Malacha Shemachabed is Balea. This type of manual labor, it's not pasnish, it's not inappropriate for a Rav to do this, because it's going to lead to me to have a greater kavod. In other words, I'll be sitting and learning, and I'll have a comfortable place to sit and learn. I'll learn better, so therefore, this is allowed. Similarly, Rav Shimon, Shokel Tzana Al Kasvei. Tzana, Rashi tells us in the Gemara, in Chulin means a basket. So he would carry this big basket on his shoulders and go walk through the public areas again with a basket. How could he do this? He said, Omar, Gedola Malacha Shemachabed is Bala. Again, this type of a labor, people will see me carrying this and they'll see me sitting down in the base medrash, so then they'll understand what I'm doing and it's perfectly acceptable. Another story, last one for the day. Divisu, the wife of the Rebbe Yehuda, Nafkas Noktas Amra. So they're very, very poor, as I mentioned before. Rabbi Yehuda and his wife were very poor. So she went down and she was able to get some wool. She purchased a little bit of wool from the market. And of the glima de hutve, and they made a glima. Now, a glima normally means a very, very nice cloak. So here it means just relatively speaking to what they had previously. So she made something that was hutve. Hutve is a lashon of very nice. Also, mimenu, sarbol tov, made a nice cloak, a nice garment. Glima chashuva, the Ran says. Now, they only had one cloak. In the stomach, this was a unisex coat. There's no problem of a man wearing a woman's garment or a woman wearing a man's garment. It was a type of thing that both men and women could wear. In any event, she went out, Kad Nafkis Lashuka Mirsaibe, when she would go out to the market, so she would wear the coat. And when she came back home and Rabbi Yehuda went out, Kad Nafik Rabbi Yehuda Litzaluya, when Rabbi Yehuda would go to Davin, so Havamachse Umatsali, he would go and wear this and go Davin with it. He put this on as his coat. And when he would go and put this on, he would make a big bracha. He would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much for allowing him to have such a choshuva type of a garment. As the Mefarish says over here, this was very dear to them, and that's why he made such a bracha, because he said, wow, Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given me such a beautiful robe. Now, Zimna Chodo Gozer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Tanisa. One time Rav Shimon ben Gamliel declared a Tainis, and he was expecting everybody to gather in the public places in order to go and daven for the Tainis. But Rav Yehuda lo also lebe Tanisa. He didn't go. Rav Yehuda wasn't able to go. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel asked, "Dude, where's Rav Yehuda?" So Amrinon lay. So the people told Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that lo is lay kesuya. He has nothing to wear. His wife is out with the coat. So he doesn't have anything to wear. So Rabbi Shimon Galil says, okay, send the Rabbi Yehuda a coat. Shadalei glima lo kibo. So Rabbi Shimon Galil sent him a coat, but he refused to take it. Returned to Nun Amud Aleph. So what did he do to the shliach? He didn't want to reject Rabbi Shimon Galil's present to him outright. That would be a chutzpah. So So he lifted up, as the Mefarish says, he biya hamachatzel shoyu yoshev la. He lifted up the mat that he was sitting on, and he told the shliach of Rabbi Shimon Galil, chazi ma'iko, look how wealthy I am. And Hashem made a nez, and underneath there was, all of a sudden, there was a ton of money over there. As the Ran says, there was a nace that occurred over here, and in fact, there was money that he showed him that was underneath the tzifza. As the Rosh says, Higbia hamachatzelis, the samacha nes, shiira shamos, that it should look like there was money over there, and therefore he told the shliach of Rishon Gamliel, listen, I don't want to take something from you because I don't want to get benefit from this world. I have plenty of money. Chazim Ayika, look how much I have over here. I don't want to get any benefit from this world, and that's why I'm refusing Rav Shimon Gamliel's very, very nice offer to give me this coat, but I don't want to take it. Again, very, very interesting story, and with this we conclude today's share.